Wisconsin Eye is on the UW-Madison campus, and we're talking to the president of the Board of Regents, Mike Falbo. Mr. Falbo, thanks for taking time after the first meeting since Governor Walker's budget recommendation. So,
you're welcome.
How far in advance of Tuesday's announcements did you know this was where the governor was going to go? Major changes, the governance change, the tuition freeze, and the cut in state aid. Did you have a lot of time to consider that beforehand, sir?
We actually did have some time before that. I couldn't tell you exactly how much, but we had some time. The governor sought our input, not so much on the cut, but on the idea of flexibilities and public authority and how we could maybe be better equipped to handle this. So I really appreciated that we were in the room talking about how to go about this.
Now, I've been listening to the audio stream of today's meeting.
Yes.
And you presided, and there were emotions on both sides given the subject. But can you lay out what you see as the good and maybe not so good for the 26 campus system, sir?
Sure. The not so good is $150 million is being taken away. And as much as we say, you know, we'll be leaner, we'll be meaner, we will reorganize, we will have the flexibilities of the public authority, that doesn't stop the pain of the $150 million cut. So I try and separate them. Okay, how are we going to deal with that? And then what kind of organization can we put in place for the future to make sure the quality of education is at the level that it has been?
One question that I have. Do you think you have the flexibility to take $100 million cut the first year and $200 million the second year, Mr. Falbo?
The biennial accounting doesn't impress me. It's a $150 million cut to our base forever. So I don't look at it as $300 million. And so, but having said that, certainly, if we had a smaller cut in the first year versus if we had $50 million in the first year and $100 in the second year, that would be easier to handle, of course. Because this is going to be an overall of our structure, and if you're in the corporate world like I used to be, that means restructuring charges. You have to absorb that, and we're not going to have that ability to absorb that. So it's going to be a difficult task.
What are you hearing from the 13 campuses that give four-year degrees in terms of the impact of $150 million cut the first year, Mr. Falbo?
Well, we heard a lot from Chancellor Blank today.
Yes, you did.
Regarding UW-Madison, and I would tell you that probably carries through all the campuses at some level. And there's some that it'll be harder, more difficult to adjust to, and some that will be less difficult. They will all be difficult. The thing you have to try and protect is the education outcomes, and you have to try and make sure that we can get students to graduation. And if we can get them there quicker, we can save them money. And we can improve our capacity to bring in more students and more tuition revenue.
What do you want to tell parents who have students who their children are now going to some of the University of Wisconsin system campuses? And should they wait and hold judgment on the governor's recommendation? They're concerned about their kids not graduating in four and a half years, not getting some of those classes because of some cancellations of classes, potential layoffs. What's your message for parents, Mr. Falbo?
The message is we are going to do the best job we can do to provide the best education we can provide on a timely basis. Time to degree is a very important piece of this. And we are dedicated to making sure that our students can get there as quickly as possible.
Could I get your reaction to a comment that Governor Walker made that one way to offset some of the cuts would be maybe if some professors picked up an additional class per semester? Your reaction to that, sir? Is that a realistic option?
Well, it's certainly it's true. If they taught another class, that there would be some efficiencies from that. But I don't think that's something that we would implement that quickly. That if we were going to do that, we would go through a process. And we have. We've done workload studies throughout the system at every campus. We know what their workload is, and we have agreements of how they go about this. So if there was a change to that, we would go through a process of working with everybody affected before we would just change that. So is that a possible outcome? I can't tell you, but we would have everybody at the table to talk about it and see what they felt the best way to go about it was. And that has to come from our chancellors. They run their campuses. We're not trying to run their campuses for them. So they have the hard task of absorbing the cuts. They have the hard task of deciding the workload. And they will, with their staffs and with their faculty, they will make the right decision.
There seemed to be a hint in the governor's comment, though, that some professors could work harder for what they're paid. Do you feel that's the case?
In general, I don't. I would tell you this. We all have careers. We've all worked where there's other people around us. And in every case, there's people that work harder than others. And I'm sure we have that in our university system as well as any other company you've ever been involved with. Maybe even your station, I don't know. I think by and large, our people work very, very hard. They're very dedicated. And they do a lot of community work. I've been on every campus. I come away every time, first of all, feeling bad that I disrupted their day to meet with me. But secondly, impressed with things they are doing over and above. So I take a lot of pride in our faculty and staff in what they do and the product they're putting out. Can some work harder? Of course.
The $150 million cut, how will you split that up among the campuses? And the reason I ask is this. 32% of Superior's budget comes in from GPR. That's only 15% on the Platteville campus. When it's that uneven, how are you going to decide how to apportion that cut, sir?
That's a good question, and I'm going to go ask President Cross how he's going to do that. I don't have an answer right now. We have a lot of work to do on that, but in the next month, we're going to be working very hard on that.
When I talked to State Senator Bob Wirtz from Southeast Wisconsin, he told me that he's getting calls. People are worried about the future of an institution like UW-Parkside. Could this cut eventually force the closing of any of the 26 campuses?
Whether there was a cut or not, we always have to look at the economics of the campuses. And it's not from the standpoint, are we going to cut you or are we going to leave you open? It's from the standpoint, how do we get you in a financially stronger position? Okay, is that headcount? Is that number of students? Is that overhead structure? How can we help? How can we maybe remove some backroom expenses and consolidate them either regionally or into the system so that you don't have to absorb the cost at a smaller campus of doing all the things that they do at a larger campus.
When I ask you to list the bad and good news, I'm afraid I cut you off. I didn't give you a chance to list the good news. Is the good news the potential new governing structure, sir?
That is the good news, yes. And again, we're campus driven, so that will allow the chancellors to have more control and authority over how they handle and make their own decisions.
When I heard President Cross speak, he spoke, and I wrote down the term, in a new governing structure where the authority has the complete independence to run the 26th campus, it could lead to, and I'm quoting, dedicated and predictable funding stream. Can you explain that, sir?
Well, it's more that it's forecasting. Okay, so now we can forecast, for example, we know what we're getting from the state. We know that there's a CPI component going forward starting in 2018. We can do models with how many students we have, what we predict tuition to be. We know what GPR support is. So we can do a better job of forecasting out into the future, which hopefully will tell us and show us what we're going to need in the way of tuition, so that it doesn't come every year and we say, oh, we have to increase it this much, we have to increase it that much. We have a formula that we can work with and we can build in variables so that we'll know in advance and we can prepare families, parents, students for what might be coming.
Are some fears then like those expressed by State Senator Steve Nass, who said, after a four-year tuition freeze, an authority could raise tuition 10, 12, 15, 18%. That comes from State Senator Nass.
Yes.
Is his fear not founded then?
We're going to work very hard to make it not founded. We're going to work very hard to do this modeling and to come up with a tuition program so that we can predict it into the future and we can try and keep it down as much as possible.
What I heard your fellow regents say today, there was Regent Pruitt called it a toxic combination, and the lawmakers should get this message. You can do one governing structure or the freeze, but you can't do both. Regent Bradley said we have a duty to advocate for the higher education. Are those helpful comments in terms of this next few months, sir?
Are they helpful? They're real. They're the truth, and you heard in that meeting also we need to say the truth, and that is the truth. This is very difficult to take, and it's going to be very difficult for us to get where we need to go, but we're going to do everything we can to get there.
Do you personally support it, Mr. Valbo?
I can't tell you I support a cut. I can tell you I support the flexibilities, and I will deal with the rest of it as best I can.
Do you and Mr. Cross and other regents, will you try to lobby legislators to bring that $150 million cut lower, sir?
I think that's our job. Yeah, I don't know how that will be accomplished, but I think that's our job.
And will you need additional state revenues, or do you have some additional sources of money that you're thinking about?
No. We don't have additional sources laying around that we don't know what to do with. So it would just be a matter of, hey, that's a really large cut, and we really would like to make it smaller if that's possible.
I want to ask you a question you asked your fellow regents today. What is your preferred outcome in the governor's proposal, Mr. Falvo?
Now, remember that I qualified that to say under this budget proposal. So my outcome is that we can restructure in an efficient and timely manner, that we can keep all of our own internal constituents at the table, that we can protect and have our staff, faculty, staff, and have confidence that we're gonna protect the tenets that are so important to this institution, and we're going to move forward together, and try. And we can only do the best we can do, and we'll work hard at it.
Are there any other states that have a model like the governor is asking for the state of Wisconsin, for the regents to go to an authority with the autonomy? And I want to ask specifically, does California operate on that model?
I believe they do. I've never thought that we should model ourselves after California, but you never know. The times change. There are some. I don't have the names of them, but we're doing research on that to see how they're doing things, and specifically to see how they transitioned into it. That's a very important piece of it.
Okay, and what are your goals immediately for the March meeting of the regents and then April? And I think you indicated, will the regents consider whether to raise tuition on out-of-state residents and international students? Is that going to come in April?
I think what will come in April from the standpoint of tuition is out-of-state students, graduate students, and professional programs. That those pieces of tuition can be looked at, and I think proposals by the campuses will be made at the April meeting for us to consider to approve.
Is there any doubt in your mind that you're going to have to raise tuition on those group of students that you just talked about?
Based on Chancellor Blank's presentation this morning, there's not much doubt in my mind.
Any thought on percentages?
No, I leave that to the chancellor.
Okay. Maybe final questions. If this goes well, how about this? If this doesn't go so well, what does the UW system look like in 4 years? But if it goes very well, what does it look like in 4 years?
You know, when you have the reputation we have, and we hear more about it when we're out of state than when we're at home, it's a job to maintain it, and then want to improve it. We're watched closely by other systems and institutions because they want to see how we do it in Wisconsin, and that's really a source of pride. Mm-hmm. So we're all committed to making sure we stay there, that we don't slip. It's not a specific answer to your question, but it means so much to us, and that we will work hard to try and get there and try and maintain the quality of education.
Chancellor Blank raises the specter of a brain drain of faculty and research veterans. Are you really afraid of that, not only on this, but other campuses?
Yes, of course I'm afraid of it. But what we do have is we have great people. We still have great people. We lose some here and there, and that happens everywhere. But at this point in time, don't sell the UW system short. It's a fantastic institution, and it'll continue to be.
What about UW-Milwaukee? Will you try to protect them in addition, in any special way, since it's an urban campus with unique needs?
UW-Milwaukee is very unique, and it's kind of the wide spectrum. They're everything from a access campus to a research institution, and so it's a very difficult campus to run. And yes, we're gonna work very closely with them to make sure that they're able to. They have a lot of projects on the table, a lot of great projects. The Water Institute, the Innovation Center, and there's a few more coming up with the new chancellor there. And we're gonna do everything we can to support that.
If the governor only wants to bond for transportation in a Bucks Arena in terms of new bonding authority, but the regents, as you're well aware, have put forth a list of projects and facilities that you think should be supported over the next biennium. Will those building projects be put on hold if the governor's budget becomes law?
I don't know that they'll go away. They may take longer to get them done. And you know, we may do some ourselves. We may have the authority under the program revenue bonds to do some of that. So I would say it'll probably slow it down a bit, but I don't think we're taking any of our prioritized plans, capital plans, off the table.
You've been on the Regents for 9 years?
I'm in my 11th year.
You're in your 11th year. Thanks for the correction.
Yes.
Is this how you wanted to end your long tenure on the board, having to supervise this?
I am a short change? Timer, and I'm done in May. My term's up in May, I'm not going out easy. But I have to tell you, this is the biggest, probably the biggest change we've had in our system since the system was put together in the early 70s.
1971.
So yes, it means a lot. It means a lot to me. I know we'll be in good hands.
And your personal position on it, you think it's in the wisest long-term?
The public authority, yes.
Yes, okay.
The cut is never in our... We can't admit to wanting a cut. We don't want a cut, but we will deal with it.
Very good. Mike Falbo, President of the Board of Regents, thanks for your
time. Thank you.
Thank you.